Take your Bibles, if you would. Proverbs chapter 8, please. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, if you are physically able. Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to read responsively. I'll have you join me on the even-numbered verses out loud, and I'll read the odd verses by myself. And we're going to read 22 through 36 this morning of the book of Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 22 altogether in verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. I want you to focus your attention just for a few moments on what wisdom says in verse 35. Verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Did you also notice earlier on, it says that that wisdom was daily God's delight. That word kind of just struck me. I was reading and studying one day, and this is actually a couple months ago, so this has been a while in the making here. But you know what? Our life is not about what we're going to do in 10 years or 20 years. Or even, if you will, what we did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It's really about what we're doing today. So I just want to talk to you a little bit this morning on this subject, daily. 63 times the word daily is mentioned in the Bible. Kind of important, don't you think? So if we see this account here, and I do thoroughly enjoy Proverbs chapter 8. It's just, as an educator, I just love it. Because, you know, it says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice. I mean, yes. I mean, God doesn't want us to be ignorant, right? He doesn't want us to be unknowledgeable. He doesn't want us to be, a fool. Someone who doesn't know anything or want to know anything. But rather, he wants us full of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. That's one of the things I believe about a local church. I think it's best when people know stuff. I mean, what are we trying to hide? You know, religion over the years and years have been trying to keep the parishioners in darkness. Oh, well, the clergy are the only ones that can know these things. You common people can't. Why? Well, what is that? What good does that do? I mean, we're all supposed to grow in grace, aren't we not? We're all supposed to learn and be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God gave all of us this book, not just the ones that he's called to be the overseers of the flock of God. This is not how it works. It's something that God wants us to do. And as I was thinking about this topic, and it goes by here, what it says here about wisdom, that wisdom was there, at the beginning of things. And it says that wisdom was daily the delight of God. Hey, let me tell you something. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. Hey, do you think we need wisdom every day? I do. Because listen, I can be a fool sometimes. I know y'all can't, but I can. Right? And listen, but for the grace of God, we'd probably be fools all the time. But we need wisdom. I mean, if it said that wisdom was daily with the Lord, how much more? Right? We need wisdom in our lives. And then wisdom, of course, as she's talking, she says that very thing in verse 34, that blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Doesn't the Bible say that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God? Listen, this is not something that God's trying to keep back from us. And it's not something that you get one time and then you're good for the rest of life. No, what it says here, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So what I kind of took from this is simply that a daily Christian life is the kind of life that finds favor in the eyes of God. See, I'm a Christian. Then live like it every day. I'm a Christian. Well, then do these things that we're going to talk about every day. First one that came to my mind was a daily walk with God. A daily walk with God. In our hymn book, we sing the song In the Garden, right? How's the chorus go? And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there. None other can ever know. Right? Do you have a daily walk with God? We ought to. You say, well, I don't need to walk with God every day. Wow, I want to meet you. You must be something special. Because I think we do need to walk with God every day. You know what? The Bible says we need to walk with God every day. All through the book of Psalms, David says things like this. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. David said, I'm going to daily do this, God. Daily I'm going to do this. In Psalm 88, verse 9, David says, Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. In Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3, David says, I will extol thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We talked about our Sunday night study on Psalm 119, where David says, I'm going to praise the Lord 7 times a day. How many of that stuck with you? I think about it more often than I used to. Yeah. A day. Hey, when's the last time you just sat back and just loved on God for a spell? It's just something we ought to do every day. Daily. A daily walk with God. Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? Does He tell you that you are His own? I mean, this is what it should be for the Christian. You say, well, I don't know anything about that. Well, listen, today you're going to have an opportunity. If you'd like to know about Christ and how He can save your soul, we'll tell you. And you can become one too. In Psalm 35, 28, it says, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Does that just mean one day a week? I don't think so. It doesn't say all Monday long. All Friday long. All Wednesday long. Those of you that are visiting, I like to make fun of English. Okay? As an educator, I prefer science and mathematics because they're absolute, and English is not. See, science and math, they follow the laws and the rules. English likes to break the rules. I just want to be a good example to people. Not like English, bad example. Psalm 71, I just offended all the English lovers out there. I love doing that. Psalm 71, 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor, David says, all the day. Remember Psalm 119, 97? Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Hey, listen, there will be a time where we're talking with the Lord and praying and just being with Him. But we also ought to talk with Him and be with Him through reading of this book. Meditating on it. Hey, listen, does it not say something about the Word of God being better than our necessary food? We ought to be eating and drinking the sincere milk of the Word every day, that we may grow thereby. It's part of walking with God. It ought to be a daily experience. In Nehemiah chapter 8, as they rediscovered the law of the Lord, and Ezra and the priests were giving the sense and causing them to understand the reading. In verse 18, it says that also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Day by day, we ought to be in the Word of God. Hey, don't you love looking at Bible characters and their examples? Some are good, right? Some are bad. But we can learn from both. Here's a good one. And Enoch lived 65 years. And begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. So how many were the days of his life? Isn't that cool? We were talking numerology, brother. There's one for you. 365. Says all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch did what? Walked with God. And God enjoyed it so much, He said, Enoch, come walk with me up here. And he was not, for God took him. You know, he had a son named Methuselah, and he had a son named Terah, and he had a son named Noah. Y'all know Noah, right? Yeah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. A little heritage there. Amen. Hey, listen. It's good that our children see us walking with God. And our grandchildren. And our great-grandchildren. Why? So they'll too, daily, walk with God. You understand that Moses told the children of Israel that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in a land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. How should our walk with God be? It ought to be daily. It ought to be all-inclusive in our lives. You know, as we look at the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, you say, Pastor, that's the Lord's Prayer. No, it's not. It's the model prayer. If you want to find the Lord's Prayer, go to where he was praying in Gethsemane. That's the Lord's Prayer. But he says, hey, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. I preach a whole message on this thing about prayer that God doesn't say, if you pray. He says, when? He's expecting you to talk to him. He's expecting you to fellowship with him. He's expecting you to ask things of him. But when ye pray, he says. And then he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. You know what? God wants you to talk to him. God wants you to read his word. God wants you to walk with him. God wants you to be with him. This is something we ought to do daily. Daily. Wisdom said that if someone would watch daily at her gates and wait at the posts of her doors, that he would obtain favor of the Lord. Well, second thing that I noticed about this thing of daily as I looked through scriptures was we need to daily deny the flesh. Mm-hmm. You see, this old flesh is cursed. It's cursed by sin. And if I live in the flesh and walk after the flesh, it's only going to bring me sorrow, trouble, unfulfillment, difficulty, and destruction. I'll be 45 years old this year. You say, "Boy, that's young." Thank you. I don't feel it. Actually, my this old body's just letting me down more and more. And most of you are saying, brother, you don't know half of it. It's true. And so flesh is cursed. What did Jesus say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now that would have been enough. Would it not? Let's read. I'm going to read that. And of course, I do not believe in taking away from the word of God. But it says, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life, will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Now, what word did I skip? Daily. It would have been enough for him just to say that. It would have been enough for him to say, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Right? Wouldn't that have been enough? I mean, a commandment and an admonition to just set things aside. But he didn't just say that, did he? He added a particular word that I believe is critical. He says we need to do this daily. Hey, listen. All day long, I will be a once saved, always saved Christian. I believe in eternal security from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. Listen, Jesus Christ died for sinners once. How many times do you need to be saved? Once. But you know what happens? That old flesh creeps in. Not to being lost or damned, condemned already again, but rather to separation of fellowship. It's a very clear biblical principle. So guess what I need to do every day? Deny the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Hey, listen, when I go to bed at night and hopefully right with God and have some time with Him and have that daily walk with the Lord, hey, listen, and I'm for morning, afternoon, and evening if you want. Or as we talked about, seven times a day will I praise Thee, right? We understand that. But when I go to sleep and I wake up again, that old flesh does something miraculous. Even though I killed it the day before, it comes back to life.
It's alive!
And we got to kill it again. And again. And again, and sometimes throughout the day. Yeah. No, Jesus said daily on purpose. On purpose. Daily deny the flesh. I mentioned Romans 6. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died once unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Later on in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You understand, we're encouraged in Galatians to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul goes on to say in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. It's a battle. It's a fight. But we need to daily deny the flesh. Take up our cross and follow Him. Hey, God wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to deny the flesh. There's another daily thing that I saw in Scripture in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, but exhort one another daily. Doesn't it say in Scripture, as iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friends. You know what? I need y'all. And you need me. And we need each other. Who else is going to encourage you? The world? Your boss? Your lost boss? Maybe in business he'll encourage you. But not in things of God. Unless maybe he's a believer, that'd be great. Work for a believing boss, that's wonderful. The Bible talks about relationships, I mean. But who's going to encourage you? We're supposed to encourage one another. And the Bible tells us we're supposed to do it daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You mean there's an enemy out there? That's trying to get us? That's trying to pick off those that are perhaps maybe weak or old? Because that's what happens. Yeah. Yeah. Just study the nature, folks. The lionesses don't go after the bull that's strong in the herd. What do they go after? The weak, sickly, the old? That's what they go after. Hey, we need to support one another, strengthen one another, help one another, bear one another's burdens. Hey, go to Acts chapter 2. Look what the early church did. Here we got a group of people, 120 of them. Holy Spirit comes out. Boom. Preaching's done. 3,000 people saved, baptized, added to the church, just like that. What did they need to do? They had a bunch of baby Christians. They needed some help. They needed some exhortation. In verse 41 it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And when it was all over, they went home and didn't meet together again." No. No. And they continuing, oh boy, with one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Daily. When's the last time you called up a brother or sister in Christ or sent them a text or wrote them a note and just said, "Hey, praying for you. Love you. Doing okay?" And really mean it. Not like, "How you doing? Hi." Because we most of the time don't mean that, do we? Huh? Encouraging one another. We have to do it daily. Remember Hebrews 10? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to exhort the believers daily. 1 Timothy 4 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You know, as a pastor, I do everything within my power to make sure I try to talk to every one of our folks at least one time during the week. Whether in person or in text or in phone call or, you know, visiting or something. Why? Because I think it's important. But you know what? We all can do that. And wouldn't it be great for all of us to do that? We'd kind of be like a family or something. Oh, Yeah, we would, wouldn't we? Daily. Well, one more thing, and we'll be done today. Not only do we need to daily walk with the Lord, daily deny the flesh, daily exhort the believers, we need to daily seek the lost. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." John, the voice of one in the crying in the wilderness, right? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." When's the last time you looked for someone who did not know Jesus Christ as their Savior? You say, "Well, if the opportunity presents itself, I might take it." Why do you got to wait for them to come to you? When's the last time you went to them? When's the last time you went out of your way to find someone who did not know Christ? Remember back in Acts chapter 2, I left off a verse. In verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You know what that means? That means daily they were out giving out the gospel. Daily they were telling new people about Christ. People that did not know about it. And daily people were born again. Hey, wouldn't it be a great thing for us as a local body of believers to daily see people come to know Christ as their Savior? Hey, so far this year, I'm thankful for what the Lord has allowed us to see. We've seen 7 people come to Christ this year. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. I'm thankful for those 7 people that trusted Christ this year. But you know what I'd like it to be? 70? 700? 7,000? You say, "You're getting greedy." It's not for me. How can that be greed? We ought to seek the lost daily. What are we doing to accomplish this task? The disciples were intent upon it. And if you've been in our Sunday school class, you've seen it, haven't you? As the 3,000 were added, 5,000 were added, multiplied multitudes were added. First, they were added and then they were being multiplied after that. Why? In chapter 5, verse 40, it says, "And to him they agreed," according, talking about Gamaliel, don't have time to get into all that, "when they had called the apostles and beaten them and commanded them that should not speak in the name of Jesus, they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." And they just quit. No, because here's that darn word again. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Daily. We ought to be after these folks daily. God wants us to bring in the harvest. It's plenteous and the laborers are few. As I read that verse in that passage of scripture, he says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he shall send forth laborers into his harvest." In the very next chapter, he calls them and sends them out. So who in essence were they praying for? Themselves. When's the last time you asked God to let you see someone saved? When's the last time you asked God, "God, I just want to be there to witness someone accepting Christ as their Savior"? "Oh God, I'd love to not only give out a gospel tract to the lady at McDonald's, but would you give me an opportunity to tell her about Jesus?" And maybe, Lord, would you allow me to see her bow her head and trust Christ as her Savior? I'd just like to see that just once. When's the last time we actually sought out someone? You had this burning desire. You said, okay, I've got to give out this gospel tract to someone today, and I've got to see someone saved. I've just got to. That burning desire. Hey, listen, we say, hey, I just got to walk with God today. I'm determined in my heart I'm going to do this today. Read my Bible, pray, talk with the Lord, meet with Him. Oh, and I'm gonna crucify the flesh, and I'm gonna deny the flesh today. I am not serving this old flesh today. I'm serving God. And oh, I'm gonna strengthen the brethren. I'm gonna call him, and I'm gonna encourage him in the Lord. I'm gonna lift him up. And listen, those things are wonderful, and I want you to be a part of that. But don't neglect this one. How badly do you want to see someone born again? Hey, let me give you a little FYI. It's not just my job to do that. It's all y'all's job. That's a good Southern term. I'm learning all these wonderful Southern terms. All of our jobs. Jesus was our ultimate example, was he not? And he went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. And they could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. How often did he do this? Wow. Daily. And is he not our example? He is. The disciples took this seriously. And Paul, the apostle called out of due time, took it seriously. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. That's a lot of dailies. So that all that they which dwelt in Asia. Now that's a bold statement. Y'all ever skip things when you read unintentionally? You ever notice that before? It says, and so that all they which dwelt in Asia. Now last I checked, Asia was a pretty big place on the map. Well, is it not? Y'all believe the scripture's true? Did you catch this? All they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Why? Daily. Daily. You said Pastor, you kind of just cherry picked these things and formed this message. I don't think so. I think it's very clear that God wants us daily to walk with Him. That God wants us to daily deny the flesh. That God wants us daily to exhort one another. And God wants us daily to seek the lost. The only question is, will you? You see, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even have a clue. Can I just tell you something? It's very simple. Those that are not of Christ do not understand the things of God. And those that are of Christ do. Because the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. who believe in God, you have life. And yeah, so if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have life. If you don't, you don't have life. It's very simple. You may know of Him, but do you know Him? Has there been a time that you turned from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? My testimony, I grew up in church. I loved Sunday school. I loved church. I believed it was all true. But as an 8.5-year-old boy, my mom and dad asked me, Eric, have you ever asked Jesus to save you? No. No, I hadn't. I believed in Jesus. I believed He was God's Son. I believed all the Sunday school stories were true. I believed this book was the Bible, was God's Word. I had no reason to doubt it. But I had never asked Jesus to save me. And that day, I knelt down by my bed. And I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. And I became a child of God. You see, in order to go to heaven, we have to have two births. Last week, we talked about, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot have eternal life. Maybe you need to trust Christ today. I want to invite you to do so. During the invitation, if you'd like to come forward, we'd love to show you how to be saved. Maybe today you're a Christian. You already know for sure, without a doubt, that you're going to heaven because Jesus Christ is your Savior. Maybe we need to bolster our daily activities and become the kind of daily Christians that we should be.